On your green sheet or white sheet, whichever one color you got, there is a litany for priests. We did this everywhere I went, everywhere I gave a talk, I had this litany for priests. And I'll tell you, you know, it's really beautiful when people pray for their priests. And I think the necessity of praying for the priests is ever more present, but also the necessity of recognizing that as I pray for priests, those blessings come back to me. Okay? And so I want to just kind of encourage you to think about something. And this is, again, this is a personal truism. As you pray for priests, God will provide priests in your life at the most, at a very necessary time. You may say, gosh, it would just be great, you know, in the hospital if a priest came by, and you'll see a priest, I promise you. And as I've seen people pray this litany and other prayers for priests, especially this litany, I've just seen priests kind of pop out of nowhere and say, hey, can I, what do you need? And it's just very beautiful. How many of you are familiar with this? How many of you, great. How many of you pray it on a regular basis? Huh? Good. Those of you that pray it on a regular basis, have you seen what I'm saying as a truth, like you just hear the priest's homily better, you just connect better? Can you put your hands up if that's happened? Isn't it true? Isn't that true? Yeah, it's like it's almost, you start praying for them, and you have this openness, I guess, right, of the Holy Spirit. So let's pray this together. It's just a public service announcement for my brothers and I, but it's sponsored by the priests of the world. Anyway, so I'll do the dark part, and you do the lighter part. Almighty, eternal God, our Father, look upon the face of your Son, and for love of him who is the eternal high priest, have pity on your priests. Remember, O most compassionate God, they are but weak and frail human beings. Stir up in them the grace of their vocation, which is in them, so that they may never do anything in the slightest degree unworthy of their sublime vocation. O Jesus, our eternal high priest, I pray. 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 But above all, I commend to you.
The priest
but above all, I commend to you.
The me.
But above all, I commend to you.
The me
but above all, I commend to you.
The
but above all, I commend to you.
The priest who taught,
but above all, I commend to you. But above all, I commend to you. Let us pray for the Holy Father. Let us pray for cardinals, archbishops, and bishops. Let us pray for diocesan priests. Let us pray for priests in seminary work. Let us pray for priests in hospital work. Let us pray for priests who are ill. Let us pray for priests in danger. Let us pray for priests who are weak. Let us pray for priests who are poor. Let us pray for priests who are zealous. Let us pray for priests who want to love you. Let us pray for priests who are sad. Let us pray for priests who are worried. Let us pray for priests who are old. Let us pray for priests who are young. Let us pray for priests who are alone. Let us pray for missionary priests. Let us pray for priests who are preachers. Let's pray for priests who direct souls. Let's pray for parish priests. Let's pray for priests and religious who have died. Let's pray for all the church militant and suffering. For all priests. 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 For all priests.
Give them an intense love for the Eucharist.
For all priests.
Give them loyalty to the Pope and their bishops.
For all priests.
Give them respect for their dignity.
For all priests.
Give them a great love
for Mary. For all priests.
Give them gratitude
for justice. For all priests.
Give them a gift of counsel.
For all priests.
Give them strength in their labors.
For all priests. For all priests.
Give them humility and generosity.
For all priests.
Let them be light of souls.
For all priests.
Let them be the salt of the earth.
For all priests.
Let them practice sacrifice
and self-denial. For all priests.
Let them yield hearts to the love of Mary.
For all priests.
Let them be under Christ.
For all priests.
Let them be holy in body and soul.
For all priests.
May they be men of prayer.
For all priests. For all priests.
May they be faithful to their priestly vocation.
For all priests.
May their
hands know only how to bless.
For all priests.
May
they
burn with love for you and for Mary.
For
all priests. May all their steps see the glory of God.
For all priests. May the Holy Spirit possess them and give them his gifts and fruits and abundance.
Let us pray together, ladies. O God,
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit,
you are the soul and life of the Church.
Hear the prayers.
Ask this. So thank you, ladies. Thank you for praying for my brothers and I. So the beauty of the incarnation, the beauty of the Epiphany, when Jesus came to the world, I want to draw an analogy. The incarnation was when Mary said yes to the baby Jesus. Have you ever noticed in the Missalette, it says when we're doing the creed, and it says everybody's supposed to bow. I asked the men's group today in preparation for today, how many of you clowns know why you're bowing your head? And one guy said, because it says to. So I said, you're a devout Catholic. I said, because what we're celebrating is Mary saying yes, the incarnation of Jesus. Carnation meaning flesh. So at that moment when Mary said yes, and the baby Jesus begins to grow in her, and the redemption begins. The church bows its head at this moment in which the light of the world came into the world. Last weekend, the church celebrated the Epiphany when the wise men came to adore the baby Jesus, and they recognized that Jesus isn't just for the Jewish people, but he's a light for the nations. He's a light for all people. Okay? I'm going to break this apart. Sometimes in the journey, I find that we say, well, Jesus is focused on the beautiful things in my life, but it's the part that's not converted, the part that I don't really want to surrender. For some of us, it may not be a life of sin. It might be just to be a life of omission. You know what? I'm just not taking that next step. I'm just not willing to do the thing that I know God is calling me to do. You know, sometimes, and I know it's hard, we can keep people in prison by our unforgiveness towards them. Okay? I keep them in there. I keep them in prison because you know what? That's where they belong. They put you in an emotional prison. They put you maybe in a spiritual prison because people have hurt you. And so, you know, you walk around with these invisible bars. Well, you know what? That's not a Christian grace. One of the things I want to put before you is, are there people in your lives today that you know that you have in your emotional or spiritual prison? They hurt you. Maybe they've gone home to the Lord. Maybe they're still living. Maybe you run into them every once in a while. But in order to be in order to walk with Christ and to bring out this grace, one of the things you have to do is you have to make a free will decision to say, you know what? I'm letting all the prisoners go free. Going to be a lot of crazy people running around, but it doesn't matter. All right? But you have to make a decision. You know what? I'm going to let them go free. Now, some of that, for some of you, that's you. You got to let yourself out of prison. Take the key, reach around, open the door, and begin to live freedom. Okay? There's nothing really attractive about a prisoner. All right? You're not touchable. No one can identify. You're angry. But I want to encourage you to let people out. Let them out. You have to reach out and call them. You don't have to come over for dinner. You don't have to drop off a souffle. Just pray for them. Put them before the Lord. Put them before the altar. You know, I can always tell if I'm smart enough and I'm listening to the Holy Spirit, or vice versa, listening to the Holy Spirit and then smart enough to respond. If I say to folks right before I begin the consecration, all right, enough. Put all your baggage before the altar. I'm just getting the sense you guys need to, you're walking around and you're not tuned in. Put it all before the altar. You know, you can feel this incredible, like, this grace, you know, like, you have a will, and your will must be conformed. And so one of the things that I just wanted to ask you is, the Christian life, walking with Christ, means to know that you have to actually allow Christ to lead you. But more than that, I want to remind you that God, in the grace of your identity as a child of God, powerfully and beautifully gives you all that you need to not only let people out of prison, but to begin to walk the Christian life towards eternal life. You can't say, I want to go to heaven and drag around a bunch of people in prison. You're not supposed to fix them, but you're supposed to let them go. He came, God came for those people in your life who have hurt you. God came for those people, like it or not, whether they care or not. God came for them. They came for that person that stole money from our safe. God came for that person. Like it or not, man, I don't, whatever. You know, because the moment that you begin to let them go, you have freedom in your heart. Right? You have freedom. You know, a couple months ago when I had this women's retreat, somebody got into the church safe the weekend I was away and swiped our collection. Right? No big deal. Whatever. It's God's money. And the thing is, you know, first of all, people got fired up. And I just wanted to say, listen, if you never swiped anything, then you throw the first stone. But if you've ever swiped anything, what are you talking about? I know they stole from the church, and I, you know, it doesn't matter. I probably stole as much stuff as that guy in my life. What do I care? Or a woman. Let's be equal opportunity thieves. But, you know, here's the point. Like, I made a decision that I'm not going to let that guy keep me under his thumb by walking around angry. I made a decision, and I told my folks, let it go, man. All right, he won. Fine. But you will win if you let it go. There are people that walk around, and all they talk about is when stuff got stolen from them. Okay? I get it. It has ramifications. Don't let it happen again. I got it. But here's your choice. He's either going to continue to do that, or you're going to let yourself be free. The incarnation and the epiphany, those two moments, God came to the part in you that has been converted, and God came to the part in you that's not converted. The part of you that's not converted is the part that Christ came from. That's where God needs to manifest himself in you. Ladies, the key to this journey is letting go. I'm not talking about a person that doesn't really care and walks through life. Nothing bothers them. Traffic, that's great. No traffic, that's great. I don't care. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the things that you allow to stay in your heart that impede your journey. That is the significance of the call of conversion. And Jesus Christ came to transmit the gift of freedom and the gift of forgiveness. And the choice is, are you going to use it or not? Are you going to use this gift that God has bestowed upon you? When you begin to use it, you begin to feel the chains breaking and the handcuffs coming off. And it doesn't mean it's not tough love. It's still love, right? Romantic love, generous love, passionate love, tough love. It's all love. Don't forget that. As long as it's love, right? You can do it, right? Smackdown love. That's all love. I'm going to talk about that in my parish. Here's a smackdown love homily. Ready? But it's important. And when we don't do that, ladies, I actually think that you block the freedom of God in your life. How many of you agree with that and have done this? Okay. Yeah, you have to do it. You have to make the decision. And what happens is God fills the void with his mercy and his presence. It's very important. That will not stay an absence. It will be a presence. Okay? It will become a presence. All right? And the more that God begins to be a presence in your life, the more that you walk with Christ, the more that the presence of Christ converts people. Okay? That's the calling of a Christian woman in our culture. All right? You have to allow the freedom to let go, and then the freedom to let Christ fill you, and then bring his presence everywhere you go. And you must be the one who manifests Christ to people who are walking in darkness. You must be that one. That is our calling. Some of you have girlfriends, man. All they want is an invitation back to church. Right? That's it. Hey, you know, want to come to church some Sunday? Well, I don't know the new responses. So what? Neither do I. Right? Who knows what consubstantial means? I don't know, but that's a really awesome religious word. Right? As long as you say it like you know it, then people think, oh man, this gal really knows her faith. Right? And it's great. When people say it, when I go to the nursing home, that word is mangled. Oh my gosh. You should hear it because they'll follow along, you know, and then they get to the consubstantial and some of them just skip it and then go on. It was really kind of funny when I went there, but that's how I feel sometimes. But I'm trying. So God wants to use you. Your faith must not only light up the darkness of people, but you must reveal God. Have any of you read this book called The Seven Secrets of the Eucharist? Really good, isn't it? You know, one of the things that Vinnie Flynn writes in there, which I totally agree with, when you go to Holy Communion, you receive the fullness of Christ, the fullness. And I find sometimes, often, when I in my journey of faith, it was like, okay, this moment with God is just for a certain part of me. Oh, this anger in me. You know, and so I just sort of boxed God up. I said, well, you know, just take care of this part of me, this my arm. Take care of that. When you receive the Eucharist, God seeks to heal everything in us and to allow what is in us to be converted to be a light for people. So here's what I want to suggest to you to think about. As you come to Holy Communion, and let's say Tammy's in my heart, the gal who had the stroke, and she's really deeply in my heart, and I say, Lord, I just want to receive the Eucharist, and I want to bring, I just feel like you put Tammy deep in my heart. And I'm bringing this woman to the Eucharist, and I receive the Blessed Sacrament, and I go back. Tammy may walk better. She may not walk better. But I want Tammy to walk to bring the presence of Christ to other people. I actually totally believe that my prayers inspire her to bring Christ to other people. Okay? Is everybody following me on that? It's very important. She may walk. That's great. I want her to walk. But what I want to happen is that God will use Tammy and walk to them. So, Lord, you just put in my heart that Tammy's struggling with this, and I want to bring it. I just bring that to you. But I want you to use Tammy to affect a miracle or a healing through somebody else. It may be through literally walking. Say I'm praying for Beth. And I know that Beth's friend has a weak faith. And I'm saying, Lord, I just want you to build up Beth's faith because you put Beth in my heart. And I don't know why Beth is there, but it's like, ding, ding, ding. All right, Lord, as I receive the Eucharist, the fullness of your mercy and the grace overflowing so much for me that I can parcel this out and share it with the world, I want you to use Beth's faith for whatever reason you put her in my heart. I want her faith to be animated, inspired, full of the grace of God. Did you get that, Beth? And then Beth begins to be an instrument. We are one body. If you're going to walk with Christ, you don't walk alone. It's just like you and Jesus. Come on, we're walking along together. He wants you to walk as in the community. To walk in community means that the people that God put in your heart, those are the people that the Lord wants you to lift up to him, to bring to him, and then God will use you, and that's been my mantra all morning, God wants to use you. God wants to use you. That God, I may never talk to Beth, but man, oh man, is God going to just put something in my heart and Beth is going to just use her faith or hope, whatever, and God's going to touch somebody through this gal. That's the beauty of walking with Christ. But so many Catholics were afraid. You know, we're afraid of that. Oh, I can't, that can't be. And maybe just someone in your pew, you're like, Lord, just touch this person. Okay? The Catechism says that as, you, as a mystical body of Christ, not only are we called to be open to this, we were called to also bring grace and healing and to transmit, and I love that word, to transmit Christ to other people. You are called to transmit his love. All of you. And you know, you don't have to be a saint to do this. But you have to break out of the comfort. You have to break out of that which is easy. Right? And sometimes, to have the courage to do this for the Lord, it does demand some sort of sacrifice. And that's hard for us. Because I want it now. I get that. Ladies, when you walk with Christ, you have to carry your cross. And you have to do so not in a fear factor. It's not a fear factor. Whose cross is heavier? You have to do so embracing it and letting God bring his cross to the world. It's so powerful when a woman smiles with her cross. Right? Beautiful. I'm seeing one gal, she has cancer, young gal, and she's just so beautiful. I'm like, gosh, you're so pretty. And she's got, you know, she had her head shaved and all that stuff. And I'm like, come on, just smile. But she always smiles. It's just so beautiful. And I'm so proud of her because she touches people. I'm like, come on, woman. Go out there. Get out of here and go touch people. Bring your stinking beauty into the world. And maybe that not that word. But, you know, you got the point. Like, go. That's what I want for her. And she knows it. So she brings God into the world, you know. I say, go, come on. Do something beautiful. All right? When you begin to allow God to do this, people will start walking with you. But you got to pray, and you have to fast, and you have to have courage. Okay? It's not easy. Okay? It's not easy. But you will be enlivened and strengthened with the grace that God gives you. It will probably be the most free you've ever been in your life when you begin to walk with Christ. I mean, you can run. You can run to another state and run to another country and run to another neighborhood and go buy a new car. You can do whatever you need to. But you know what? God is going to keep putting those people back in your life. God, thank you. But because you can't keep running. And maybe, and this is what I really feel, and this is a blessing and a burden, because the blessing is like, you know, I don't really want to go to the hospital tonight to visit somebody. But you know what? God needs me to go to the hospital tonight because he wants me to go. And I don't want to go. But I know sometimes in my priesthood, when I've gone to the hospital late, which I hate, you know, except you don't have to pay for parking, right? That I've seen miracles. So when I get in the car late at night, yeah, like I'm like, all right, come on, Lord, let's get this miracle done. Because I don't want to keep coming back here. Right? And then the next day people are like, oh, you look so tired. I'm like, shut up, right? Really? Why is he angry? Because maybe I was up half the night visiting some kid that somebody in the parish recommended who doesn't go to my church and lives in another state. That's why. But the point is, it's like, I have to participate in that. Do you get that? I have to. When your love for God is like that, you can do it, right? God bless you. You've got makeup. I don't, so you can see that. But when you do it, you're getting a sense like, it's okay. It's okay. You know, the other night, I always talk about personal, stuff. Little baby down at Children's. He doesn't go to my church. He's like six parishes away, but he's down at Children's. Anyway, I forgot. You know, like ADD. So he's down at the hospital. Anyway, the guy sends me a text. Remember the day it was like 4 degrees, right? And I'm like, he's like, hey, Father, it's so-and-so. Just wanted to see if you were ever coming down. So I'm like, I can't go tonight because I had an appointment coming in at 10. And I'm like, all right, I can't go. Anyway, 10 o'clock got canceled. And I'm like, oh, you rotten stinker, right? Anyway, it's literally like 4 o'clock. Like, you know when it's like 6 degrees or 8 degrees? So anyway, I'm getting ready to go to the hospital, right? And then my phone goes off. It said, one of our teachers, her mother-in-law, is in another hospital all the way around the Beltway in Greenbelt, right? So I text the son, her husband. I'm like, you know, do you want me to go to visit your mom? He's like, heck yeah. And I remember, like, you know, like I'm driving, and my heart converted, and it was okay. And I'm eating, like, a chimichanga at, like, 2 in the morning driving home, right? Right? I mean, you know, I'm a health food addict. And so I'm driving around. The car is blowing, and I'm thinking, is this why I became a priest? You know what I mean? But when I got to the baby, you know, I was with this little kid. He's 2 years old. He's got kidney cancer. Anyway, he's wide awake. I'm like, aren't you supposed to be asleep? His mom's there, and he's got these huge eyes, like they're the size of plates. And he's looking at me. So he's reading a book, and I'm like, all right, I don't want to scare him. And so I'm like, what are you reading? And it's Tommy the Tank or Tommy the Train or something. So I've got the Eucharist with me, and he's looking at me like he's like, oh, this is another bad guy, because probably getting poked and cut and all that. So I'm like, oh, I love that book. So here I am, and this is when I think I became a saint. So I'm kneeling with him. I'm reading Tommy the Train. What is it? Okay, whatever. You got the book. And he loves it, right? Anyway, I finish the book, right? And I'm like, I'm going to pray over him. And he goes, do it again. So I look at his mother, and I'm like, so I read. But I read, like, and you all have done this to nieces and nephews. Page 1, 19, 27, 64, and it's closed. Right? I did that. I just jumped, and I'm like, the end. And he's like, do it again. It was really comical. So it was literally the first time. I mean, those of you who I put the stole on, I have the Blessed Sacrament in my left hand. He's in front of me. I'm reading the book, praying over him on his back so there can be healing, right? And then I give communion to mom and dad. But it was like the biggest fake out I've been involved in a while. You know? The reason why I bring that up is that all of us are kind of called to walk with Christ like that. It does involve a sacrifice, you know? And sometimes, you know, you don't want to do it, and sometimes you do. But I think what's important is the moment that I begin to think, oh, I don't want to do this, or I say I'm entitled to this, I can say, ladies, that maybe that's just blocking a moment of God. I was happy I went. I would have been more upset if I didn't go. You understand? But I mean, there are things that you folks deal with all the time. I'm like, where's your heart? What's your reaction? Okay? I think this is the game changer for a conversion of hearts. When you gals begin to allow that mercy just to kind of flow through you. We got it. It's okay. Right? Whatever. It all depends on the joy and your reaction to the moment. Okay, it's fine. We'll be all right. Okay? I want to encourage you that when you allow this, you transmit the life of Christ, okay? And so the second talk, part of this is, am I transmitting Christ's life to other people? The incarnation, God became flesh. Number 2, he became somebody for other people. The people you don't like, the people who are difficult, the part of you that is really needing in conversion, okay? God is not afraid of the brokenness, but he's also, he needs your freedom to let his light shine, okay? And when you transmit this grace to other people, they become enlightened. They become liberated. And then you become a companion with somebody along the journey. Okay? That's significant. You know, when you allow that, you become actually like a Pied Piper. Right? You bring people to Christ. You don't have to do it in the way some other gal does it. But you have to believe that this is what God desires for you. And so the last point I just kind of wanted to bring before you is in this journey, you have to make careful that you stay rooted in your prayer. One of the great temptations of Satan is to just say, well, my work is my prayer. But ladies, you have to stay prayerful. Because it's so easy to get rejected or made fun of or scorned. And you have to have a real courageous heart. Because sometimes the people that you think are going to be the most behind your conversion are actually the ones who feel the most threatened. You know, they're intimidated by Christ. But that's a good sign, you know. Remember when baby Jesus was born, Herod said, let me go see the baby. You don't want to see the baby, you want to kill the baby. As soon as you start to convert, people want to kill that presence. They say, oh, don't do this, come on back. I can tell you, I'll promise, another truism, you start to convert and you'll get old temptations or old memories coming back. Actually, maybe even a phone call, or you'll see an old boyfriend. I promise you. I've seen that countless times. Incredible. And it's almost like the Lord in his love says, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to choose to go back the old way, or are you going to choose to follow me? Okay? It's very, very beautiful. It took me a long time. I said, what? Why is this happening? But as I've seen this, you will have the freedom. Now, you have to watch out, because the way that we can become sort of this lukewarm is, well, I don't have to do my prayers. But you know, ladies, if you commit to prayer, make it. Be faithful to your prayers. Be faithful to relationship with God. You're supposed to be a friend. Why are you going to bring anybody to Jesus if you're not his friend? You're going to seem like a stranger. All right? When that begins to flow and you begin to just give God permission, I give you permission, Lord, people will see the presence of God in you. Sometimes it's really hard, and sometimes we want to give up. But you know what? When I go to the hospital, I say, Lord, if there's a miracle in this kid, which I want, that's great. But if it doesn't happen that way, then give the miracle to some other kid. I'm not in charge of the miracle department. And you know, there's a grace there. And so I would encourage you to think about that. Right? Each of those steps, each of those moments is your way of sort of walking with Christ. So turn everything you do into a moment of God. All the struggles, the rides, the trials, everything is, Lord, I want to walk with you. And I know that you would not abandon me. Every step is a step with Christ. Recently, somebody I know started going to a 12-step program. And they didn't really want to go because walking in that room is really a tough thing. And I was so stinking proud of him. And I said to him, I'm like, man, you feel like, he said, I feel like I'm going in that room alone. I said, I don't think so. I said, I think the Lord is walking with you for the first time in your life and you finally realize it, but you just don't want the label. But you already have the label. You were born a sinner. I'd rather, and that's why you're drinking. You already have the label. You are a sinner. So what? Whether it's an OA meeting or an NA meeting, it really doesn't matter. You're already a sinner. And one of the ways you sin is you drink too much. So I said, just walk into the room confident that you're not walking in there alone. You know what? He felt so much freedom. I'm not walking alone. Ladies, the moment that you start feeling that you're walking alone, you're going to reach out and ask somebody to walk with you. And that may not be God. You have to reach out to God and say, Lord, walk with me. And take me by the hand and give me the peace. And know that you are called to touch hearts. You are called to do that. Whether it's at the restaurant and the waitress stinks, you are called to bring God's blessing there. Absolutely. Don't go into that restaurant with all those rosaries around your neck and then you're like, gosh, you're the worst waitress. Yeah, you won't say that because you're too Catholic, but you won't say anything. And you just got to say, man, great job, good hustle. So what? I got a tofu burger instead of a cheeseburger. Well, that might be different, but you got the point. I got a vegetable dish instead of a chimichanga. But don't you see, like, that's how you bring God. That's how you bring God. That's so essential for you. God bless you. Bring Christ there. And don't be afraid, right? Because it's the moment of God. Okay? Walking with God means you're confident that you are, that He is with you, and that God wants to work through you, and that you are called to transmit His love. All of you. All of you. And that's a beautiful opportunity. It's not a burden. It's a blessing. And look at that. Look at it like that. He chooses you with your sinful past and your sinful present to bring His light to people. Wow. And what stops it is your doubt. Your doubt. Oh, I tried and Meg didn't want to receive God, so I'm just going to give up. Right? I tried to bring Jesus to Teresa and she got angry. Okay, that's all right. That's okay. You know what? Then just go out and bring His light to the world. Don't be afraid. All right? This Holy Father, you know, have any of you read this new document by the Pope? It's really easy. Thanks be to God. You know? This is the new one. Called The Joy of the Gospel. And I don't know. It's really simple. If you're a reader, get it. If you're not a reader, don't get it. Okay? Just give me the $10. All right? And I'll summarize it. Okay? Somebody's like, oh, that's what's going to make me be more Catholic. Maybe not. Okay? If it stays on your shelf, closed with dust, that probably won't make you any holier. Okay? But you know what the Pope keeps saying? He's like, I want you to go out and talk. I just want you to go out and bring God's love to the world. Right? It's really kind of simple. You know, and we're hearing all these amazing stories about, you know, going and hanging out with these people and going to hang out with these people, which is great, you know. But I just think, like, wow, this guy just says, go out and bring Christ. That's your calling. And I so firmly believe this, that I think that everything in my past has been filled up and that God has given me grace for another person. Every stinking sin in my past, God has filled it. First, He's healed it. He's filled the void. And He's made that boat in my heart so full of love that I want to pour that into somebody else. When you have allowed God to walk with you, that will be your desire. Because if you're afraid, then something needs to be healed. All right? I know it's tough to talk to your family. I got it. But I'm not saying it's tough to talk to somebody else about His grace and His mercy. And there's somebody in your life who has the same pain as you. I promise you. There is somebody that needs your beauty, your love, your generosity. And you just have to wait for the moment and say, Lord, just use me as an instrument. Just give God that permission and you will see God working. You have to give Him permission. Right? I said to the Lord, Lord, you want me to go to the hospitals? I'll go. I said, I want you to do the miracles. I said, Lord, I'll go. But I said, you got to do the miracle. I told Him, I'm in. You pay for the gas, but I'll go. And I find sometimes people are like, well, I'll go on my dime. I'll go on my terms. That's not it. Okay? You got to go sacrificially. And sometimes it stinks. But when you go, you know what? There's a miracle. A miracle of conversion in your heart. Right? That's the grace. So I want to encourage you to pray about some of these things. I'll open it up for a couple questions. But I find more and more, I'm like, what are you waiting for? Why are you afraid? And sometimes when I meet people and this gal's gone through similar pain, I'm like, well, you guys got to walk together, become friends, pray together, journey together, and help each other. That's how firmly I believe in the power of a Christian who's fully alive, touching the life of another person. And that's what you should begin to be open to. Some of you already, maybe I sense, have that confirmation in your heart. But sometimes, you know, it isn't about like teaching them religion. It's about being a witness. And that's a powerful grace. And the faith of the church spread because Mary brought the baby Jesus into the world and nobody knew the baby was there. And that's a powerful, powerful moment of God. Any questions, ladies? Sorry. Good. Who here is sick? Can you stand if you're sick or if you have cancer or anything that we could pray for you? Thanks. Good. Good. It's okay. I'm glad you're standing. Okay. You all heard Tammy's got the stroke. It's okay, honey. Come on up here. It's okay. Yeah, come on. It's okay. Come on up here. We'll pray. You guys that are sick, come on up here, okay? It's okay. All you guys that are standing. Okay. Yeah, come on, we'll just pray over you. So we'll just gather and we'll ask the Holy Spirit to come upon them. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless these women. And we ask you to pour out upon them your grace and your blessing. For those who know they are sick, help them to be a witness. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to give light to their eyes when they're suffering, when they're scared, when they're doubting. I ask you, Lord, for those areas in their lives that are most affected by illness, that those be the areas that you use to bring your light. And so if it's cancer of the breast, that the light of God shines through their heart. If it's a stroke, that you allow them to walk to people. We ask you, Holy Spirit, that not one ounce of fear or doubt or pain will be wasted. We consecrate these women to you, Jesus. And we ask you to pour out on them the blessing of grace and courage. Help them to be witnesses to their communities and to their families. And help them, Lord, to know that you're with them. You give them, Lord, a cross like all of us. But this cross is unique because it's public. Heal their hearts and pour out on them the grace. And let them transmit Christ. Because we believe, Lord, we believe that you want to use them. So pour out on them your grace. Heal their families. There's families that are afraid. Families that lack faith. And use their doctors and their nurses for healing. Some of you may have some family members who are sick. Just maybe ask you to stand if you know, like, somebody's got cancer in your life. Somebody's sick, you know. So we'll lift up these ladies, okay? And ask the Holy Spirit to come upon these women and give them grace and courage. And so as we sing this song, ladies, you may know it or you may not. What number is it, Jen? 81. So ladies, those of you that are standing, I just want you to sing this for the person that is sick in your life. Whoever it is, your loved one, okay. Just sing that for them, okay? Like, I need you, Jesus. I need you to come to my rescue, okay? Okay. Well, thank you, Jen. Why don't you grab a seat, ladies? So, it's 12:15, okay? We're late because Jen and Therese kept singing, right? Those girls have been with me. I think we should. Can we recognize the beauty that they have, huh? And so, anyway, anytime I come out to give a talk and with the gals, I always try to bring them along, bring their band, you know. And the idea is I'd like you in the church in 25 minutes. Is that okay? I know you got to have lunch and all that, but at the exposure of the Blessed Sacrament, those of you that want to be prayed over will do that. You know, sometimes folks, they ask about what about being prayed over, okay? It's a movement of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people rest in the Spirit. Sometimes they don't. I don't always understand it, okay? But when I pray over people, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come into their lives. You want to come up, if you decide to be prayed over, and say, you're going to look at the Blessed Sacrament because Jesus is the healer, and say, you know, Lord, I just want you to heal me. But, you know, you have to make a decision, ladies. Like, you can keep it like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not surrendering. But I just encourage you. Come on up, keep your eyes on the Blessed Sacrament. I'll come bless you with blessed oil and bless you with priestly hands, which have been anointed. Even though I'm a sinner, they come with that sacramental grace, okay? And sometimes people get a beautiful sense of warmth or peace or emotion. Sometimes there's just silence. It's hard to tell. I don't know, and God gives you what you need. It's beautiful to be open. We have masses for healing prayers. I know there's some at JDW, my last place, and now it's St. Andrew's. And the idea is that we're just asking the Lord to heal. If you want to come up and proxy for somebody, maybe your girlfriend's got cancer, and you come up and proxy for them. Lord, I'm here because I want you to heal my friend. Maybe you're looking for something for a person of faith. You know, like you want them to come alive in their faith. You can come up for more than one person. Jesus can heal more than one person at a time in your heart. Okay? And so I'll bless you. We'll cover you with a little shawl, simply just out of modesty for you and out of the respect that, you know, when I'm praying over you, I just don't want to get distracted. Okay? And so that's why. And then if you rest in the Spirit, we cover you. So I just try to make it you and the Lord. Blessed Sacrament, bring healing. Okay? So confessions will be available. We'll see you in the church, okay? God bless you.